All righty, let's open this morning to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13. It's going to get explosively busy here around Blessed Hope here in the next week or so. This coming Saturday is crazy. Then, of course, July has youth camp, Brother Gip coming, a fast involved. Then the teens leave for Vancouver. Katarina and Brian are getting married, so a lot going on. Be in prayer for all that. I'm sure the devil would love to mess some of that up. Look at Matthew chapter 13. I'm going to start reading with verse 9. It says, "Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." And the disciples came and said unto him, "Why speakest thou unto them in parables?" He answered and said unto them, "Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance, but whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak out of them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not. So you can see but not see, and hear but not hear." Says at the end of verse 13, "Neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Esaias, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross. Their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower." Let's bow our heads and pray. Now, Father, we come to this critical parable here this morning to take a look at something that's very important for us today. I pray, Father, you'd help us. We realize, Father, we have visitors among us. We're glad they're here. If it be so that there be someone lost here today, may you help them see their need for salvation. Indeed, we pray you would open their eyes and open their ears as well. We pray, Father, you would bless as we come upon a very busy time here at Blessed Hope. I am asking, Father, you to bless us, prepare us, and strengthen us this day for the days to come. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, my actual text is chapter 13, verse 15. And he said several things about hearing and seeing and understanding. Notice verse 15. "And for this people's heart, their heart is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed." So there are three organs there that the Lord emphasizes: the heart, the eyes, and the ears. Those same organs are emphasized in Christianity. Of course, we understand that to mean not the literal eye, not the literal ear, but spiritually how you see, spiritually how you hear, and spiritually how you understand and what you do with your heart. With that in mind, those three organs are very important, all of them. For instance, you have the heart. You cannot possibly overemphasize or overpreach the importance of the heart, right? First of all, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Bible says that he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. It says that we are to diligently keep our hearts. Keep our hearts with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. It says that we are to guide our hearts in the way. And so for that reason, the heart, I'm going to start squeaking here, sorry about that. The heart is emphasized by prophets, apostles, and by the writers of the Scriptures over 800 times in the Bible, the Holy Scripture, the heart is mentioned. So you can't deny the importance of the heart. Of course, you knew that. Now, think about the eyes. And when it comes to the eyes, the Bible is filled with people who had their eyes opened. The blind saw, they had their eyes healed. And of course, we think about it in a measure with regard to spiritually, where even if you can see, doesn't mean you're seeing spiritually. And that's really the idea. Now, with that in mind, your eyes are arguably the most powerful sensory organ that you have in your body. It's one thing to have to limp the rest of your life because your leg hurts. It's one thing to have a little bit of a hearing difficulty and maybe even have to have a hearing aid. It's another thing entirely, changes your life entirely, if your sight should go and you should never see again. Right? So those eyes, the eyes are mentioned, the heart mentioned 800 times, the eyes are mentioned over 600 times in the Bible. And so again, you can't overemphasize the importance of having your eyes open. Now the ears are a little different. The ears do not garner so much attention as those other two things. The heart, the eyes, and the ears. For instance, you'll go sometime to a funeral probably, and the guy that died, the guy gets up to eulogize him, and the guy that died may have beaten his wife every day of his lifetime, may have gone off and gambled all of his money away, but still somebody will stand and say, but you know what? He had a really big heart. That doesn't say he had really nice ears. It says he had a really big heart. If a young man is attached to a young lady and decides that he wants to write a poem, try out his new poetic skills on his poopsie poo, he's more likely to describe her eyes than her ears. It's just that way. In the hierarchy of things, in that verse, the heart and the eyes are usually viewed as much more important than the ears. Now, that may be the case comparatively, but still, I've come here today to call your attention to the ears. Not that mine are beautiful or anything, but I've come to call your attention to them because those ears are still mentioned over 300 times in the Bible. Okay? And the brutal fact of the matter is, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Faith cometh by hearing. It's important to say that faith in the Bible does not come by seeing. Faith does not come by experiencing. Faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. Your faith will be built by reading and hearing the Bible preached in a way it will not be built by watching a TV show about the Bible. Because faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. It's very important. And when Christ was prophesying of His second coming, He said, when the Son of Man comes again, will He find faith on earth? Well, if He finds faith on earth, it will not be because of what somebody saw. It'll be because of what somebody heard. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. And so I want to talk about that for a little while. Having the wrong kind of ears or the wrong kind of hearing spiritually is just as damaging as having a hard, proud heart or having dim, blinded eyes. Both the Lord and the devil want your ears as much as they want your heart and your eyes. So I want to talk to you this morning about maybe a strange subject. I'd never thought of it much before. I'm preaching this morning on what kind of ears. What kind of ears? Look in Matthew chapter 13, verse 15 for the moment. I'm going to talk to you for a little while about something that we all have to address at one point or another in our lives. A lost guy has to deal with it. A Christian certainly has to deal with it. I'm asking you today, what kind of ears do you have? For instance, Matthew 13, 15. For this people's heart is waxed gross. Their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears. You can see there that the Lord is dealing with an issue where somebody's ears are stopped. Somebody's ears need to be unstopped. Somebody's ears need to be opened as well as their eyes. Now, you're all familiar with Christ healing a people's eyes. Christ healed leprosy. Christ healed men that were lame. In fact, He healed men that were dead. He cast out devils and healed men that had demons. He told John the Baptist, He said, listen, you messengers, go back to John the Baptist. Tell him that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are healed, and the deaf hear. Right? Isaiah chapter 35 verse 5 says, then shall the eyes of the blind be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. I'm talking at this point about unstopped ears. You need to make sure that your ears are unstopped. Now, what I mean by that is, I would like to have you notice here in verse 15, there's something that's said about the eyes and the ears that is not said about other things. It says in verse 15, this people's heart is waxed gross. Their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes, notice, they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears. Now, their eyes they have closed. It also plainly applies to say their ears they have closed too. Now, I say that to say that the Lord never blamed a leprous man for being leprous. The Lord never blamed a dead man for being dead. The Lord never blamed a lame man for being lame. But the Lord did blame sometimes a blind man for being blind and a deaf man for being deaf. This hits the core of what's wrong with Calvinism, by the way. You'll just take note in verse 13 once again, something that's very true. Folks, God does have to help a man see. God does have to help a man hear. Okay? I have a verse here in Psalm chapter 40, verse 6. You don't have to turn there. It says, though, the psalmist said, mine ears hast thou opened. We're talking about opened ears this morning. In Job chapter 33, Job says that God openeth the ears of men and seal their instruction. Now, the Bible says the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Look, I'm telling you, on one hand, it is very necessary that God helps open our eyes, and more specifically, it is God's part to at least in part open our ears and give us understanding. But there's another side, there's another edge to this knife, because it says in Isaiah chapter 50, verse 5, that the Lord opened mine ear, I was not rebellious, neither turned I away back. In other words, yeah, God has to show me something. God has to help me hear. But once I've heard, I can always rebel. In part, my deafness or my blindness is my responsibility. Right? Says in yet another verse in Zechariah chapter 7. He says, they refused to hearken. They pulled away the shoulder. Their eyes, or their ears rather, that they should not hear. In other words, the Lord is leaning over somebody with His hand on their shoulder, talking in their ear, and the guy turns his shoulder away, turns his ear away to get away from the voice. That is, God does have to show you something. God does have to teach you something. The inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. But if you're deaf, and if you're spiritually blind, you have a part in it. You have a part in not understanding. You have a part in either loving the truth or not loving the truth. It's not all up to God to show you everything. You have to desire something as well, and you have to be able to apply yourself as well. I remember the day that the Lord opened mine eyes to my sinfulness. And I give Him the credit for it. He had to show me that, but I was also willing to hear it. And I was also willing to take the remedy for it, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? I can also remember, frankly, a different day later on as I matured more that the Lord opened my eyes and opened my ears to hear some things that I needed badly to hear about the sins that I still had as a Christian. Okay? The Lord had to show me that, yes, but very frankly, I also had to be willing to hear it. You know, in Acts chapter 7, Stephen is standing preaching to Israel. And I mean, he is letting them have it with both barrels. And he finally said too much. And the Bible says that those men stopped their ears and said they ran upon him. In other words, I picture an entire mob of men that didn't want to hear what he had to say. And they all have their fingers in their ears running straight at him to get him to shut up. I just dare say, folks, that is very much a battle that's faced today. I know many, a lost man that I've spoken to on the streets and on doorsteps, and they are deaf, and they are blind, and they are ignorant, and they don't know. But they also don't want to. And when you tell them the truth about judgment or righteousness or Jesus Christ, they're very quick to be repelled away and they don't want to hear it. They stick their fingers in their ears, at least spiritually, and make plain they do not want to hear. I want to say as well, folks, I see that as also true, very much true, among Christians, especially today. There are very many Christians that call themselves Bible believers and Christians, and they really are not interested in the truth at all. They, when it comes to preaching like this, they're very much desirous to get out the door, and they don't want to hear it. I don't know how many folks that I've counseled that are Christians that come to me and say, Brother Stevens, I'm just really, really, really trying to understand why the Lord did this and why the Lord allowed this and why I'm going through this in my life, that sort of thing. And obviously, I don't always have the answer, but I can say this to some. I can say, well, I also wonder, since you're asking me this question about why the Lord's doing this, what is true as far as what things has the Lord said to you about some other things that you've ignored? You know, I mean, if, ladies and gentlemen, if God's going to open your ears, you have to be willing to have your ears open. The Bible says that their ears have waxed gross, they are dull of hearing, but it also says they have stopped their ears. They don't want to see and they don't want to hear. I'm telling you, that's a battle you're going to have to fight for the rest of your Christian life. The fact that God has some things to say to you that you might not enjoy hearing. It is very important, though, that you love the truth enough to desire to want to hear it. Amen? God will not force you to hear. If you have your index finger stuffed up to the third knuckle into your ears, I doubt very seriously the Lord's going to come along and go and pull them out. You have to want the truth. And secondly, I can say this to somebody that asks advice. You know, sometimes somebody comes and asks advice and they've rejected other truth. Did you know that you can't do long division without being able to multiply? Did you know that you can't multiply without being able to add and subtract well? Somebody comes to Brother Stevens and says, Brother Stevens, I need an answer on this long division problem. Meanwhile, they've never learned to multiply. In fact, they're not very good at addition and subtraction. My point is, ladies and gentlemen, that there are answers that some people want, and they rejected what God said about something else back there. And so they're not getting answers for what they want because they rejected answers for what they already, that the Lord already addressed. So I'm asking you this morning, do you have unstopped ears? I've learned that the average Christian in the process of the Christian life, I've been saved 43 years. In the process of a Christian life, many times there are truths that Christians begin to call out, and they just, when the issue is addressed, they just kind of plug their ears and wait for something else to come up they want to hear. That's not the way the Lord does business. That is not the way the Lord does business. Let me show you something else. Let me show you another kind of ears. I'm talking about unstopped ears. talking about opened ears. That's true. Let me show you another kind. You're going to have to deal with this kind, whether you're lost or saved. You will have to deal with this kind. 1 Samuel chapter 3, and while you're turning, 2 Kings chapter 21. 1 Samuel chapter 3, 2 Kings 21. First Samuel chapter 3, verse 11. This is surrounding the issue of Eli, the high priest of the day, and his sons. Says this, verse 11. The Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle." You have tingling ears there. Look in 2 Kings chapter 21, verse 12. There are actually three of these passages. The only thing in the Bible that tingles is ears. And then only three times. This is the second. We'll not do the third just because it pretty much is the same thing. 2 Kings chapter 21. Notice verse 12. "Therefore thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Behold, I am bringing such evil upon Jerusalem and Judah, that whosoever heareth of it, both his ears shall tingle." Three times in the Word of God, the Lord brings this message to a man, says, anybody that hears what I have to say about this, both his ears shall tingle. Okay? Now, tingle doesn't sound too bad, but I wonder if it's more like an earache. Most of us at one time or another have experienced the unpleasant sensation of having an earache. It's not a lot of fun. In fact, your ear may hurt enough that it brings tears to your eyes. You may cry because your earache is so bad, right? Now, you can try remedies. If you have a real earache, you can maybe put some warm honey in there or garlic or, I don't know, a daisy or something, whatever it takes. Spiritually speaking, there's one very easy and very natural thing to do when what you're hearing makes your ears tingle. You can shut your ears to the truth. Turn away and just not hear. Right? Eventually, and probably weekly at some level at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, every Christian here will experience at some level tingling ears. I just want to say the day has now come in the latter days that Christians no longer are willing to allow their ears to tingle. We preach on the street all the time down in Minneapolis. Knock doors on the all the time, door to door. And what you see continually is that any time you say something that God said that somebody is not really interested in hearing, both saved and lost alike, they are basically repulsed. They turn their ears away. They do not want to hear it. I've seen folks, when I started preaching on the street in Minneapolis, do one of these. Turn away like that. Because they simply don't want to hear it. I got a newsflash for you. Everything God has to say to you is not sweet, kind, and loving. Don't misunderstand. There's plenty of good news in the Bible. But the newsflash is that all God's news is not good news. I dare say that sin, death, hell, judgment, recompense, reaping, torment eternally in hell, which is true, none of those things are particularly enjoyable to hear. I'll tell you this, somebody gets preaching on it, starts preaching about eternal fire and eternal torment, and I start thinking what it would be like to be in eternal fire and eternal torment, and I build some pretty hot fires at my house in the winter, I tell you what, it makes my ears tingle. Sometimes I go listen to preaching and preacher has some things to say about my sin that God's shown him and is preaching to me about my sin through the Spirit. I got to say there are times that my ears tingle about what God is revealing to me about my sin. I'm telling you here this morning, whether you're lost or saved, that you're going to hear some things, if you're going to read the Bible and hear the Bible taught, that will make your ears tingle. It's not a particularly pleasant circumstance. Hopefully what follows the tingling ears is conviction. Got news for you. Conviction is not one of the most enjoyable things that you can partake in. It's not a lot of fun to be under conviction. But everything the Lord has to say to a Christian, it's not all good news. It's just not. If you're going to listen to the Bible long enough, you're going to hear some things, probably daily, that make your ears tingle, and you will be tempted to go, I don't want to hear it. But tingling ears. Now, I'll ask you this. Who causes the tingling ears? Isn't it God? So, is it God's will that in 1 Samuel 3 and 2 Kings 21 that the people's ears should tingle? Wasn't it His will that their ears should tingle? So, you know what I'm telling you? If you're going to be a Christian, you're going to have to put up with tingling ears. God has some things to say that are not pleasant. We've now come to a day where when people hear something they don't want to hear, they shut down and they go away. That is not something I had the choice to do. When my father had something to say to me when I was a kid that I didn't want to hear. Oh my goodness. The wrong thing to do would be, no dad, no more. Talk to the hand. Yeah, that would work. Until he broke my arm and I couldn't get my hand up. I dare say to you folks, the Lord is not interested in that either. And nowadays, folks are very presumptuous. And the Lord has something very serious and very hard to say about some things. Again, sin, death, hell, and judgment and recompense is not enjoyable. It's not fun to hear. But the Lord's desire is for you to hear it. So I'm telling you that tingling ears is something that every Christian is called to experience. Now, there's something else that I'd say about kinds of ears. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4. And this goes somewhat along the same line, but still different, at least in my mind. We have seen unstopped or opened ears. We have seen tingling ears. And 2 Timothy chapter 4, it says in verse 2, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they shall not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. Somebody has itching ears. In this case, it's Christians that they have itching ears, okay? And I don't know if you've seen a dog with itching ears. Our first dog, he had issues with his ears. And he would sit for hours at a time and scratch his ears with his back foot. Many of you have not seen this sight, but my sister and I have because we were born and raised around cattle for the first 17 or 18 years of our lives. A cow will scratch its ear with its rear hoof if it gets bad enough. The picture I'm painting you is a church. Not just our church, but a church. Think of a dog pound, walking in the door of a dog pound, and every dog in the place is sitting on his backside with his rear leg cocked, itching at his ear. Every single one of them. That would probably tell you there's some sort of an issue with mites or lice or fleas or whatever in that dog kennel. Picture a church where when you walk in the rear, everybody is on the floor with their hind leg lifted up, scratching at their ears. I dare say that's pretty much what the Bible sets forth here. It says, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. touchy-feely has pretty much swallowed up modern Christianity. Scratch me. Pet me. Caress me. Hug me. It's pretty much swallowed us up. And if a pastor or teacher gets up and says something that somebody doesn't want to hear, they're accused of being a hate monger or some other nasty name. I just want to say there comes a time when Christians will not endure sound doctrine, but they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. In order for somebody to stand up, a preacher to stand up, and to do nothing but pander to the desire to have their congregation's ears scratched, that guy has to cut out 95% of the Bible. Because I can tell you this. For every positive, savory truth that there's another unsavory truth connected with it. I tell you what, heaven will be sweet. Part of the reason that heaven is sweet to my mind and heart is because hell was going to be really, really bad. Got news for you. The reason salvation is great is because damnation was going to be really, really bad. The reason it's nice to reap in righteousness is because reaping in sin is thoroughly miserable. I'm telling you that if you cast aside the negative truths, I promise you the positive truths will not be sweet for long. In this passage, you see, first of all, the heaping. They heap to themselves teachers. They hire teachers right and left. They spend money bringing people in that will tell them what they already want to hear. Sometimes somebody comes and talks to me about some counseling matter. They've already made up their mind what they want to hear, and if I say something different, they're mad. They shall heap to themselves teachers. There's the heaping. Notice verse 4. They shall turn away their ears from the truth. They no longer want to hear the truth. I want to just say that that's certainly true of lost folks at times. But everybody here that's been in the battle a little while knows other Christians that have turned away their ears from the truth because they don't want to hear about that. But they turn away their ears from the truth, and they are therefore turned into fables. And here's what I'm telling you. You need to have your ears open, okay? Hopefully, everybody here has opened ears. Most folks in our church this morning are here 2 and 3 times a week. That's a good sign. I'm telling you that there's going to come some times where your ears will tingle. There's going to be some times that things are said that are unpleasant truths, but you still need to put up with the tingling ears. I tell you something else that's going to happen. Everybody is born selfish. I want things my way. I want to hear things that I want to hear. I want it said the way I want to hear it. And so my ears itch too. I'm called to let my ears itch and not heap to myself teachers that'll sit around and scratch my ears. You need to set aside the things you want to hear and be willing to endure sound doctrine and endure the truth. There's a fourth kind of ear I would point out to you. Look in Acts chapter 7. And also while you're turning, and then you're not going to have to turn too much more, Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah chapter 6. Acts 7. And Jeremiah chapter 6, start in Acts chapter 7, go all the way down to verse 51. This is where Stephen pretty much brings things to a close with Israel after Israel has killed their Messiah. He says in verse 51, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye." You know what happened at the end of this scene. Stephen is killed, right? The people have uncircumcised ears. Look in Jeremiah chapter 6 real quick and verse 10. To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. Says there that they have uncircumcised ears. Okay, that means that your ears need to be circumcised. Now, anybody that's of age here knows that circumcision is an operation. If you have some spiritual discernment about you and you've read the Bible, you also know that your salvation is based on a spiritual circumcision in which you are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. The Holy Spirit, when you get saved, circumcises your spirit, okay? Circumcises your soul. It's an operation made without hands. With that said, there is a third circumcision you should carefully consider with regard to what we're talking about today. And that circumcision has to do with your ears. Let me give you a couple of examples and then we'll be done, all right? Look in Exodus chapter 21. Exodus chapter 21. Your ears need to be opened. Your ears will tingle if you hear the whole counsel of God. And yes, there's a part of you that has things that you want to hear, and so your ears are going to itch sometimes, and you need to leave those ears unscratched. And your ears need to be circumcised. Look in Exodus chapter 21, and there's a couple of unpleasant truths here, I suppose, as well. Exodus 21, if you'll go down to around verse, well, let's start with verse 1. Now, these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. If thou buy a Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve. Now, to be clear, this is talking about buying a person, okay? This is bond service. A Hebrew servant is bought with money, and he is to serve for 6 years. He shall serve. In the seventh, that is the seventh year, he shall go out free for nothing. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master have given him a wife, that is, he came into the household, got bought, and then got married in the household, then, and she have borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master. So if he decides to leave, he leaves the wife and the kids behind. Now, I'm not saying our society should be this way, because it's not, and I'm glad. I'm telling you, that's a verity from the Bible. Right? Look at the end of verse 4, and he shall go out by himself. Now verse 5. If the servant shall plainly say, I love my master. Now, in our modern atmosphere, it would never be considered by the public, by the culture, that it just might be that there's a time and a place where servanthood is acceptable to the servant. In fact, the servant loves his master and doesn't want to go, not only because he loves his master, but because there's something else. I love my master, verse 5, my wife and my children. I will not go out free. I want to stay. Then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door or unto the doorpost. And his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, A-U-L. He shall serve him forever. Now, I know that's a physical operation. That's where somebody gets taken up to the doorpost. He says, I love my master. I want to stay with my wife and kids. So he allows himself to be taken to the door, puts his earlobe against the doorpost. It's basically driven through with a punch. So there's a hole about the size of your little finger in his ear. I'm not advocating ear piercing. I'm advocating a circumcised ear. Here's a guy that had an operation on his ear. What did that operation say? That operation says, I love my master. And I love my wife and children. And I want to stay with them. And I'm going to be true to this master forever. So, when another master comes along and says, hey, you're a big, strong, strapping guy. I will give you twice as much of the share of the crops if you'll come live with me. I'll give you multiple wives. I'll give you more beautiful wives than you have. The guy says, no, I'm not interested. I love my master. I love my wife. And I love my kids. This guy has his ear pierced. Yes, it's a mark of servanthood and slavery. In effect, for us, for our circumstances this morning, he has a circumcised ear. No matter what other voice is heard, he only listens for that of his master. No matter what offer is offered him, he only listens to his master's offers. He loves his master, he loves his wife, and he loves his kid. And to leave would mean to forfeit all those things. You know what? You need a circumcised ear. Every voice that you hear that's appealing is not to be listened to. Every trumpet sound, every trumpet call calling you to some battle or some cause that's not God's is not for you to listen to. You should have a circumcised ear. You should know your master's voice. You should know your master's affairs. And if a voice comes to you to tell you to do something that you should not do because your master would not ask you to do something like that, says so in the book, you don't have to listen. You should have a circumcised ear. Now, with regard to that, there's another thing I would have you take note of in Exodus. Exodus 29, and then we really, really, really will be done. Exodus chapter 29, I'm talking about a circumcised ear. Talking about a sanctified ear. I'm talking about you sanctifying what you listen to. The voices that you're willing to listen to. The offers you're willing to listen to. All the opportunities that come your way are not always from God. And God does not okay them. Every cause that you can give the rest of your youth and the rest of your strength to is not necessarily a worthy cause. And it should be rejected. Oh, you could justify it, but you have a sanctified ear. And you have an ear only for your master that paid for you, that shed his blood for you. And you love him, right? You love him? And you love your wife. And you love your children. In fact, you love all these things that your master has given you. And if you listen to another master, you're going to lose it all. You know it's possible to lose it all, right? You know that Christians have listened to another master and lost their children and lost their wives and lost their husbands and lost their grandkids, right? You should have a sanctified ear. Look in Exodus 29. Exodus 29. And this is in regard to the sanctification of the Levitical priests in the wilderness. Look in Exodus 29 and go down in verse 20 where Moses is given commands and orders on what to do for these priests. Notice, then thou shalt kill the ram and take of his blood and put it upon the tip of the right ear of Aaron and upon the tip of the right ear of his sons, upon the thumb of their right hand, and upon the great toe of their right foot, and sprinkle the blood upon the altar round about. Anybody can see that blood is a type of the blood of Jesus Christ. That blood is placed on the tip of the ear, the tip of the thumb, and the tip of the great toe. You would have trouble walking without a big toe. You know that? It relates to where you go. Where you go should be sanctified. Every place you can walk is not necessarily a place that a Christian should walk. You should have the blood on your right toe so that when you go, you go somewhere that God can bless and sanctify. Everything that you can do, you know what separates you from the animals, among other things? Something called an opposable thumb. You never yet saw a dog answer the phone. There's a reason why. He doesn't have a thumb. One of the things that separates you from the rest of the animal kingdom is a thumb. You need to make sure that you get the blood on that thumb, because you can get yourself in a mess as a man that none of the rest of the animals even think about. You need to make sure that your doings are sanctified. You need to make sure that your goings are sanctified. And you need to make sure that what you hear is sanctified. Everybody calls himself a Christian on Christian radio and Christian TV is not a Christian. And many is the Christian that has gotten himself in major trouble listening to a false prophet going all the way back, yes, all the way back to the Old Testament. But I dare say there's many a false prophet still around making big money off the saints. You need to make sure your ear is sanctified. Your ear is circumcised. That the Lord has the ear and not somebody else. You need to have opened ears. I'm telling you, your ears are going to tingle sometimes. Because God has some things to say to you that aren't all that pleasant. Your ears are going to tingle. You know why? Because you're a man, you're a woman. You have a fallen nature, and there's naturally things that you want to hear. Maybe more often than God is willing to say them to you. You need to let the ears itch. Don't go hire somebody just to tell you what you want to hear. You should let your ears tingle some. I want to say, your ears need to be circumcised. They need to be sanctified. Don't go pierce your ear for my sake. I'm not advocating that. I am saying, put the blood on it, man. I'm telling you that you should sanctify the things that you hear. You should only hear your master's voice. Men, let's have a word of prayer. Now, Father, we love you this morning. I pray that you'd help folks to consider these things. We've talked this morning about kinds of ears, and all of us, Lord, are going to have these kinds of ears at one point or another. I'm so glad for the day that you opened mine ears and mine eyes to see and understand some things. Father, I've ignored tingling ears sometimes, and I've ignored itching ears. And I am aware that my ears need to be circumcised and sanctified to hear only thy voice. Father, I pray that you'll bless. I hope you'll show somebody here their need for salvation if they've never trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's really the opening thing, Father. The first issue with settling the problems of life is settling once and forever a soul being saved. I pray for somebody here would receive Jesus Christ this morning in their heart by putting their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Father, give us a good few moments of reflection here this morning. We have great need of Thee in our lives today. We live in a wicked world. It's very dark and getting worse all the time. I pray, Lord, that You would affect us by what we've heard. And I pray in Jesus' name. Let's remain with our heads bowed, our eyes closed for a minute. Let me give you opportunity to come this morning if you need to come. I should say that first. If you've never received Christ as your Savior, if you're not saved, we're not going to ask you to jump through religious hoops. Don't want to embarrass you, and not going to make a public spectacle. I'd like to give you an opportunity to come and ask a couple of questions in private to get it squared away. If you've never been saved, if you're not certain if you died today that you would go to heaven, I can tell you this right now. I know, and it's not because I'm a preacher, I know that if I died at this moment, if I dropped cold dead at this moment, heaven is my home. It's not because of what I am. It's not because of what I did. It's because I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. Jesus Christ saved me. you can have the same assurance. You have that promise in the Word of God. If you don't have it right now, I'm not going to threaten you with a car accident this afternoon or a heart attack or a stroke or cancer or anything else, but you know as well as I do that sometimes people die suddenly. And you need to consider, many folks would never leave their house without life insurance. I'm telling you, Jesus Christ is the only eternal insurance there is. And you shouldn't walk any more steps on your two legs than you have to before you receive Christ as your Savior. What kind of ears you got? They've been opened? Have you yielded to tingling ears and turned away? Have you yielded to itching ears and essentially hired somebody to come and tell you what you want to hear? Have you placed the blood on your ears? Have you, as a servant, walked up to the doorpost and allowed the Lord, with His all, to circumcise and sanctify your ear unto Him? Jesus Christ said, "My sheep hear My voice." You don't need to hear anybody else's voice. If you will, stand with me. Let's close in prayer. I appreciate you being here this morning. Appreciate your patience. It's been a good morning. Hope you'll come back tonight. We have a 5:30 prayer meeting if you'd like to come. Otherwise, service starts at 6. Again, Brother Jason will fill us in a little bit more about the parade plans for this weekend. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll be dismissed. Father, we come to You this morning. It's been a good morning. Appreciate the regulars as well as the visitors. Thank You for giving us a Bible that's true and right. Thank You, Father, for revealing Your mind and affections unto us. Your thoughts are given to each generation. We appreciate that. We ask You to help us to adhere to them. Help us, Father, indeed, to circumcise and sanctify our ears unto Thee. We pray these things this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, good afternoon, folks. We'll see you back tonight, Lord willing.